option.
Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Fink, and it's December 14th, 2009, and this is the County Open Forum. And if we have call-ins, we have a program. How you doing, James?
Good. How are you, Bill?
Wonderful. Thank you. Praise Yahweh.
Yes, praise Yahweh.
Well, so what did you realize Buddha was a Saxon paper?
Yeah, I was reading that. Been reading that actually off and on for the last couple of hours. I keep falling asleep. It's nothing against Eli and his writing. It's just that I guess I'm just tired. And
I have a couple. Eli's not crazy for writing that stuff. I have there is clear evidence in the language and in the ancient history that Buddha was one of the Sakka.
Yeah.
And that he was blonde or redheaded and fair-skinned. And there's no doubt. I have a book. It's a PDF that I actually stole from Google, but I do also have the hardcover of the book. I have a reproduction which Sacred Truth Ministries actually makes available. Yeah, you know, Robert Balakaius actually makes reproductions of this book. It's an 1862 or something like that book called
right.
The Lost Tribes and the Saxons of the East and the Saxons of the West. And it's a really good book, and I would recommend it to anybody who wants to understand the Eastern connection, the Scythian. We didn't all go west. I mean, not all the Scythians left Mesopotamia across the Caucasus and hung a left. Yeah, you know, a lot of them went to the east and up through Persia and Sogdiana and Bactria and the trade routes. Some of them ended up into China. We affected Chinese culture. We had a profound effect on Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first millennium BC. The Tocharians are, those mummies on the Pamir Plateau that were found in caves that probably date to 200 to 400 BC, quite a few of them. They had red hair and wore tartans. They wore plaid tartan garments. And they are probably a remnant of the Tocharians, who were a tribe of Scythians that traveled to the east. And are related to the Celts, because the mainstream commentators don't really imagine how that could be, but they don't want to accept the identity version of history. There's only one Russian anthropologist that I know that shares our views. And his name is Grigoriev, and I think it's S.A. Grigoriev, and I have a paper from him on Christogenia also.
Yeah, well, he cites in his article, an article that you posted on Christogenia, Lost Tribes by Moore.
Right, that's the book I'm talking about. That's
yeah.
really a 400, 500-page book. It's not any I'm actually looking for it as I talk. Hebrew English resources. Okay, under language studies on the left hand menu, you'll see Hebrew English resources.
Uh huh.
And when you get into that, under Hebrew English resources, you'll find it's like a menu item that brings up a menu, and you click the top item. I'll put the link to the PDF into the forum, so that people could have it. But that's an excellent book. I recommend that book to anybody.
You know, it's amazing that our people have been so conditioned that any sort of pride, any sort of racial pride in our history is viewed as being taboo. That if you try to bring these things to light to them, they automatically...
It's absolute hypocrisy. Anything pro-white, anything ethnocentrically white or Eurocentric is taboo. Well, the hell with those taboos. We can't allow ourselves to be programmed by the taboos of the Jews.
That's right. And not
the
only,
hell with the Jews.
Exactly. And not only, you know, it's not, and I'll even hear people watering down. Even without in Christian identity, they watered down the idea of us being racial segregatives.
And a lot of people water it down through that sixth and eighth day creation garbage that Comparay and Swift signed onto, and it's just straight trash. That there's no scholarly basis for it whatsoever, and they water it down that way, because once you imagine that Yahweh created the non-Adamic races, then they must be good, because everything he created in Genesis 1 was good. But once you actually study the Hebrew and realize that he did not create them, then they can't be good.
Exactly. And we're not supposed to even be sharing the message with them. We're not even supposed to be associating with them.
Absolutely not. It's total separation. That's what we're told to do.
Yeah.
Separation means separation. There's degrees of separation that, well, that's probably a Jewish philosophical concoction.
Exactly.
Yahweh didn't talk about degrees of separation. He talked about separation. Thou shalt be a separate people, period.
Exactly. And I'm looking forward, the more I study, the more I realize just how close to the end we are, and I hope I see it, like, real soon, because I know that every time, if you look at the history of the white race, if you look at every time that we were left alone, we accomplished great things.
Absolutely.
And then you'd see the Jew insidiously working their way in, and then you see miscegenation, and then the destruction of great societies that we've built.
See miscegenation, but even before that, you see that all of the excess capital in society disappears.
Exactly.
Because of the Jew brings with him usury and high taxes and siphons off all of the profits of the produce of society. That's what the Jew does. That's what the parasite does. It's the natural result of usury. And we have it now. People don't have any money today because basically it's every excess dime is going to taxes or to debt. It's either paying taxes or it's paying interest on credit cards and bank loans.
Well, you know, people are saying now that with Obama being in office, that this is like the final straw, that now we have a Mamzer in office and everything. But again,
we still have 100 million sleeping white Americans that don't know any better.
Well,
I mean, some people are waking up, but.
Well, you know, but if we look at history, we see that we have already, I mean, this hype that Obama would be the first Jew president, that's just bull crap. We've had plenty of Jew presidents.
Yes, we have. Eisenhower is clearly a Jew.
And Roosevelt. And I'm trying to think who else. I even think, just based on the things that I have read about Bill Clinton, and we know that Hillary Clinton.
I think that Winthrop Rockefeller sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And by his fruits you know them. And he was actually groomed for the position he filled for many, many years.
Yeah,
and none of that is a coincidence.
Oh, I don't believe that at all. Yeah, I there's no such thing as a coincidence. These parasites, they think in terms of centuries, not just a few years or a few days ahead. They're planning centuries in advance of what they're going to do. So yeah, I absolutely believe that Clinton, Bill Clinton, is a Jew. I read a newspaper article that he celebrates every single Jewish holiday. So, you know, I'm just compelled to believe that he is. And we know that Hillary is, you know. So
I just put up a quick article. It's not even a quick article. I didn't have time to write an article. It's a headline and a link on the front page of Christogenia, opposing the menorahs of Edom. And the link goes to Mike Delaney's ProThink site. And he has a couple of videos there. The Moldovans, Moldova is a nation that it's over by Romania and the Ukraine, are revolting against the Jewish menorahs. And it looks pretty good, and I'm going to check it out in depth tomorrow and write an article on it.
I keep on looking forward to that day when I can't remember the exact wording of the scripture, but it talks about Judah becoming a fire and Joseph becoming a flame. and beat them for stubble. I'm looking forward to that time. I'm like, when is that going to happen? Where are we going to reach that critical point when enough people wake up? Obviously, I think Edom is going to have to do something really terrible besides 9-1-1. They're going to have to do something really terrible that's just going to jolt people, wake them up to the point where there'll be a massive revolt against these vile creatures.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. We all hope that that happens, but time will tell. I don't like to try to predict the future because I'd only be exposed as a false prophet.
Yeah.
A lot of other identity pastors are confident doing that and seem to survive it time and time again when they're wrong, but not me.
Yeah.
I'm not making any predictions. Only hopes.
Well, has my screen frozen, or what's going on here?
North Florida, how you doing?
Hey, Bill, this is Bruce.
How you doing, Bruce? I thought it was you, but I wasn't sure.
I'm crazy, Joshua. I'm just sitting here in the truck waiting to swap the trailer out. Go
right
down to Florida. Yeah. Hey, what, have you heard anything about that... You read a lot of things. I don't know if they're true. But something about them finding the ark and 18 or 19 Jews were slain or something. You ever heard anything about that?
No. It's a shame that they couldn't find the ark and 18 million Jews be slain. But
yeah.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah.
Well, Eli has a story on...
I don't believe any of that. I'm very skeptical. I'm extremely skeptical about that.
Yeah, so am I.
Well, for me, just from a purely biblical point of view, it would make sense if you read the scripture where it talks about the rock was rent, the earthquake, that there had to be a sprinkling of blood on the mercy seat. All that makes sense to me. Whether or not it was actually found or not, I don't know. But, you know, it does make for
To me, it's just one of those too-good-to-be-true stories. And there are a lot of problems with a lot of Wyatt's statements. Ron Wyatt, I think we're talking about. And I'm just extremely skeptical. Show me.
Yeah, after hearing that Ron Wyatt guy, I watched a video where he was talking about to the Jews about the blood off the mercy seat he found, and he said, and he started getting all teary eyed and was telling the Jews that he's your Messiah, and I'm like, what?
Well, he is a Seventh Day Adventist, and they're pretty whacked. I mean, have you heard who was it? What senator was it? Hatch wrote a Hanukkah song for the Jews.
Yeah, I got it on my site.
Oh my God, I about puked. I wanted to just
sellout.
Put the guy down and slap him, you know?
Absolutely. I would have to agree with you. You're either going to dance with the devil in this day and age, or you're not, or you're going to reject it. You're either going to eat the sour grapes, or you're not. And time will tell, and we'll see. But I have a lot of people staying on that dance floor right up to the end.
Yeah.
At least half of this, right? I mean, there were 5 virgins that were caught off in Babylon trying to find oil, and that's the way I read that parable.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's half of us.
Yeah, people have something in the back of their stupefied mind that tells them that, oh, at the last minute I can repent and do whatever. I can fulfill all of God's commandments in a moment, which, you know, that's not even scriptural.
It sounds like a mafia thing. Catholic Church.
If the Ark of the Covenant were found, it would be what? It would just be an idol, an icon. And everybody saying, Eli's of the mindset that the Jews would want to suppress information about the Ark of the Covenant being found. But I'm of the mindset just the opposite, that they would herald that finding, and they would build the biggest monument in the world on the spot where it was found and display it with half an army around it, of course, because they would use that as a reason to legitimize what they're doing in Palestine. That's what I believe.
Yeah, it's possible. Unless, of course, what they're saying is true, that no Jew can get within 50 feet of a thing.
Well, that's superstitious.
Well, it's hard to know. I have a hard enough time concentrating on what I have to do day after day.
Yeah, right, and it is a distraction, and it's a distraction to us. And I think that Ron Wyatt is a distraction to us.
Yeah,
I don't know. Eli is jealous, and he his zeal and his want to promote the message is what I think is his impetus for adhering to a lot of that stuff, and anything he could use to promote the message and to get people's interest. But I came into Christian Identity a critic and a skeptic, and that's what I am. And I'm still a critic and a skeptic. And I think that to look at everything critically, because this doctrine is so far off the mainstream path. And once you come to the realization that it's true, you have to walk the narrowest path possible, because when the outside critics and skeptics and the scoffers find you in error, they're going to blow that all out of proportion in order to discredit your entire message.
This is true.
And that's the main reason why I just don't sign on to everything that happens to sound good. Everything has to be looked at critically and studied and proven. And if I don't, I'm not from Missouri, but you got to show me when there's stuff like that. I'm sorry, I ain't buying it.
It's like somebody going through this.
Yes, Ken. Eli has well, he hasn't, you know, backed off of his position, but he has stopped promoting it so zealously. Yes. But I'm sure that he's you know, his heart's in the right place, and he does it from zeal. He does it because he's zealous of the message, and zealous of the history and everything related to it. What were you going to say, Bruce?
Oh, I was saying that reminds me of a lot of these a lot of us walking around stupefied in our minds and not knowing night from day, going to these Hollyweird movies and talking about these stupid Jew-inspired perverted sick movies all day long. I mean, it's like running people in circles. You know, without based on fact, on scripture, yeah, in history.
Yeah, right. We need the utmost scholarship.
Yes. I just downloaded like 100 of your books you put on the site today. It took 4 hours.
100 what?
Of the books you put on your on your project page.
The new ensign? You talking about the new ensign?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. Thanks.
No sweat. That's what they're there for. I have about 5 gigabytes of data to post to that site, and I don't have the time to do it. I mean, it'll be done a little here and a little there. But five, yeah. I have 5 gigabytes. I have 11,000 documents to put on a new Ensign site. And I just don't – 11,000 documents. That's incredible. I just don't have the time. I need 3 of me.
Yeah.
But hopefully they'll all make it there eventually.
Yeah.
I have another couple of 100 documents to post to my Mein Kampf site that I have to get up.
Oh. Yeah.
And I'm redoing a new site for Clifton Emmaheiser. Because right now Clifton's site is all PDF files. And I'm giving him I'm creating an online database like Chris DeGenier is now for Clifton. It's at emmaheiser.chrisdegenos.org. So far I have his 140 teaching letters to date up, and I also have some of his other papers.
Oh. When did he come around to dual seed line?
Clifton's always been dual seed line.
For a long time, huh? Wow.
Clifton's been dual seed line for 30 or 40 years or so. I don't know, for a long time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he's got a good site. He's got a lot of good newsletters on there.
Yeah, the link's on my projects page, emmaheiser.chrisdegenos.org. But right now, that emmaheiser.chrisdegenia.org is the original site I made for him. But that's all PDF files almost. And I'm going to create a site. I'm going to leave – the PDFs are going to remain available, of course, because it's nice to print off them. But I'm going to put all this text in a searchable online database, which is I'm about halfway there right now.
Wow.
Well, it doesn't sound like you have a whole lot to do, though.
Nah, it never ends. I mean, thank Yahweh it never ends, but it never ends. I got a paper I'm working on in mistranslations in the King James that I hope to get out this month. I don't know. I might try to – I'm thinking about going back and rewriting it to make it as little – as least technical as possible, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that'll make it a lot shorter. Right now it's about 20 pages, and I'm not a quarter of the way through the New Testament. James, how are you doing?
Good. Which one? The one on
Which one?
California James.
Yeah, just kicking back and shutting my mouth and listening. But you guys have said some good stuff about the Buddha. I didn't know that. I like that. And something else you said, I forgot. I just kicking back and listening.
I just thought I'd say hello. I see you there.
Oh, okay. I'm not trying to hide or nothing.
How could you hide?
I don't know how that thing works or nothing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you've never been on the committee. Well, I see you.
I know. I know I'm on there, but... I got some, I mean, I'm not going to say what it is, but, well, I already know we've talked about Ron Paul, but what I've heard, you know, supposed to be a Mason and I don't know, whatever. And then another guy that I thought was real good, I heard he's an agent provocateur, and it just kind of blows me away, Patty told me this morning. And
there's no political solution, James.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I totally agree.
Oh, yeah. Paul,
well, maybe Patricia will be real nice and print that article I wrote and send it to you.
Well, she told me.
She's going to hate me for saying that.
Well, I didn't want to say too much, but she did tell me this morning that, I don't want to say too much, because the person doesn't know that I know, and we don't need to, you know, I don't know who knows and who don't know, but.
This
blowing me away.
James, we don't need to.
We don't need to project it, right?
We don't need to be speaking about that.
That's what I figured. I
private
agree.
Conversation you had with her, and we don't need to make.
No, I totally agree. I don't want to. That's what I was trying to not
say. Well, you didn't have to bring it up. So.
Let's change the topic. Hey, all I'm saying is it. I'm learning more, and I'm getting deeper and deeper and deeper as each day goes by into everything. And, you know, it's just so damn discouraging, but, you know, I don't cry about it or nothing. I go, here's another one. Here's another one. You know, but like you said, it's all, you have to just be totally into Yahshua and that's it. I can see it more and more. Man ain't worth a shit. I hate to say that, but. Well, I guess they are out there, but then you got your sleepers, and I've heard a lot of stuff over. I've been into this stuff since 71. Learning more and more all the time.
Well, that's all that's important.
Well, just like
the hell with all the naysayers. The hell with all the naysayers and all of the scoffers. Don't even care about the interlopers, the sleepers. The hell with all those people.
Well, it's like,
if you're not doing anybody any wrong, You can't be judged by their laws.
Well, it's just like right around here where I'm at. I mean, it's just, you feel so, we're so spread out. I mean, I can't believe how stupid, just like you guys were saying a while ago, how stupid people are. You know, I'm into my history. Of course, you know, I've been going on 73, so it makes a difference. But see, I've tried to teach guys identity and stuff by going back to the, you know, the Huns and this, that, and the other. I said, that's the Vikings. I said, avian, blah, blah, but trying to show them, you know, who we were and where we came from and all that stuff. But just like when you told me about Collins, that just blew my little bubble again. I go, so I know one thing. I'll never get those two earlier books. I've got the two latest ones, you know, the so-called lost tribes, but the two earlier ones that he had, or is there any truth in those ones? The Scythians?
Well, you know,
stuff?
I'm going to give Stephen Collins a little bit of credit. He got the Parthian story right, and even most, I mean, I got the Parthian story right. It's on my website. But
well, see, I haven't read
the Parthian story right independently, and a lot of identity writers even ignored the Parthian story. And the Parthian story is a very important
part
of our history.
Are the Parthians the ones that supposedly fought the Romans to a standstill?
Well, yeah, they did. They took a beating by the Romans a couple of times, but they also defeated the Romans a couple of times. The Romans could never cross the Euphrates with any success. That was the border of Parthia.
And it's too bad, you know, they don't tell us this stuff anymore. You have to, you know, I forgot who in the hell it was. Oh, my, whoever it was, they just told me today, you know, one thing it made me think about, you know, not feeling good about getting hurt, or, you know, things that you think you want to have be, but they're not. And my son-in-law, he got on my, you know, he's very, very smart man. He's really deep into it, just like you are. You're into, you know, I love our past history. I just love that shit. I love our race, period. I'm proud of our race. I'm German,
well,
Dutch,
well,
and Swedish, and maybe from the tribe of Judah.
The Parthians are clearly Aryans. They're clearly a tribe related to the Scythians and the Germans. All archaeologists and anthropologists and historians admit that, as far as I know. And Josephus clearly identifies them as Israelite kinsmen.
Okay, now, like that book, I mean, I don't have it right here. Well, I could go here and get it, but you already know anyway. But anyway, I read the two latest, you know, the so-called Lost Tribe and then the new one. And his wife was supposed to have cancer or some shit, and I guess he died, and he wasn't going to finish. I was wondering if that book was ever going to come out, the latest one, but
well,
I never.
Stephen Jones drove off the bridge when he associates the Jews with Judah, and then he goes and adopts himself I don't really know the circumstance. I guess she's adopted, but I don't know. She might be natural. He has a black daughter.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
He's a universalist.
Gotcha.
And he thinks the Jews are Judah. But he had the Parthian story right. That's the best work he ever did, and everything else you could throw away.
Now, the Parthian story, is that the one of the two earlier books?
Well, the identifications of the Parthians, you know, in history. He had that right.
Yeah, well,
a lot of early identity writers ignored that.
Did he do that in his earlier works or the two late works that I have?
I don't know. I've only read his works. I've only read secondhand quotes and things like that, mostly through Clifton.
The one I have is
I'm not going to spend any money on his writing because I'm not going to support the man. He thinks the Jews are Judah, and that's a critical error. That's saying that the devil is the. You know, the devils are the children of God.
Well, that's
you can't make a worse error than that.
Just like Robert Depew, you know him, I guess, the Minutemen at one time or whatever. I used to support him, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, actually, over a period of time. But I didn't know any better. And then I got his book, Behind the Iron Mask, and in the middle of it, it said he said he was an atheist. And then I quit right then and there. I never gave him another dime. And they burned his paper up. I forgot the name of the paper now, but he had a so-called patriotic paper. Oh, there's so many phony bastards out there. But, you know, if Yahweh or God's not involved in it, I don't want no part of it. Just like Metzger. I used to be with Metzger, and he's a phony son of a bitch. He used to be identity preacher, and then he turned against that.
Just tell us how you really feel there.
Well, James, it's all part of the journey. It's all part of the journey.
Patricia's asking about the Persians. Everywhere where you see the word Persia in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is Elam, E-L-A-M.
And Patty, I got your deal today.
Elamais is the district of... Elamais is the Greek name for the primary district of Persia. That was opposite the Tigris River from Babylon. It was one of the oldest Persian districts. And probably the original land of Elam.
Elamais?
Yeah, Elamais.
Elamais.
Herodotus mentions it. A few other Greek historians and geographers mention it. And wherever you see Elam in biblical prophecy, the Persians fulfilled that role in history. Therefore, the Persians must be the Elam of the district Elamais.
But it appears that all of these areas over there, throughout the whole area, the white race brought the civilization, and then they were overran by mongrel hordes. Little by little, all over. Wasn't that basically the case?
Yes, 6 says that if one thinks there is a human solution, Judges 6-8 and Zechariah 13-14 say totally different. I'm 100% in agreement with Guest 6. All these clowns that think that we're going to fight our way out of this or we're going to vote our way out of this, that they're all kidding themselves and they're all deceiving the sheep.
Might as well go buy a lotto ticket.
And you know, most of the pastors that preach that stuff, they're sitting on their own asses in front of a television somewhere.
Or they're getting kickbacks. They're part of the system.
Well, absolutely.
As long as they got their beard and their football, that's good enough.
It's nice to tell other people that they have to fight their way out of this. And you're sitting behind a TV screen somewhere or a monitor drinking beer.
I challenge anyone to show me a poor Judeo-Christian preacher. I have yet to find one.
Right, you probably won't find one. I think if, you know, the way I can read Greek, if I walked into a Baptist church and you know, I could study their doctrine maybe for a day or two ahead of time and went in and showed them how the Greek New Testament just verified every word they ever believed, I'd probably be a rich man, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I'd rather hang myself. Yeah, it's incredible. There are no, the Bible talks about tickling the ears of people and reaping the earthly rewards from that, and how people love to hire for themselves prophets that tickle their ears, or pastors that tickle their ears, and that's what it's meant.
Calling good evil,
and,
calling good evil and evil good.
Yeah, and people love that. They rain money on those. You know, they throw money at those people. And that's their reward. That's their only reward. Because when the day of judgment comes, that they're going to be some sorry. Well, I don't want to use the F, some sorry men.
They're going to deserve everything they get.
Well, I've kind of lost all patience with Judeo-Christians. I can't even bear to listen to them anymore. I guess I don't know what it is. They don't seem to get it. I mean, there are so many clear scriptures condemning the Jews. So many times that Yahshua himself condemned them.
Right, but there's a clear line in the Bible. From Ezekiel 35 through Malachi 1 and 2, right into Matthew, where it says that all Jerusalem trembled at the thought of a Messiah, and right through John and Romans chapter 9 and Revelations 2:9 and 3:9. There's a clear line that can't be missed.
And if you actually
read the Bible through and think about what's going on as you're reading it, instead of thinking about one verse at a time and developing a psychobabble sermon, which is what they do. They read one verse and then they go develop a psychobabble sermon from it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not the true religion. It's crazy. And probably the worst thing that was ever done for the Bible was its division into verses. Because I've seen so many Judeo-Christians take each verse as a separate, independent unit and talk about whatever he wanted to talk about it and take the verse entirely out of context, and they all do it.
Well,
I should go suck all the verse numbers out of my translation.
My dad used to tell me, he says, when you're reading the scripture, you have to answer the questions of who, what, where, when, and how.
Yeah, right. I tell people all the time, you have to understand what's being spoken, who it's being spoken to, where it's being spoken, and under what circumstances.
Exactly. And even with the Christogenea translation, it even becomes clearer that every single time the apostles were writing, they were writing to Israelites. You know, they weren't writing to just anyone. And
right.
So when you realize this, who they're writing to, then it becomes a little bit clearer what the intention was.
Well, right, but especially with the apostles, you have to understand, like with Paul, who the members of each of his the audiences were. Once you realize in Acts 17, I'm going to use this as an example. I just answered a forum query about it. Well, once you realize in Acts chapter 17 that the Athenian people are the Japhethites of Genesis chapter 2, chapter 10, verse 2, once you realize that they're Adamites, but they're not Israelites, and you see Acts 17 and Paul says nothing about redemption or the law, that then you could take that in context and understand the message. You can't understand Acts 17 without that knowledge. And look at the another famous one I like to cite is the splicing into the branches in Romans chapter 11. Well, if that was such a matter of doctrine, why didn't Paul mention it anywhere else? And that's because that message is peculiar to the Romans. Because the Romans are descended from Israelites whose ancestors had split off from the main body of Israel before Mount Sinai. So they are wild olives. But all the other people Paul wrote to were Israelites whose ancestors split off from the main body of Israel after Mount Sinai. They're not wild olives. Paul told the Corinthians that their ancestors were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. So you see that there's a huge difference in the message that Paul gave to the Romans as compared to the Corinthians. And you realize that, that, you know, the splicing in has to have a historical meaning. And it does. The Romans descended from the Trojans. And their ancestors were not, at, for the most part, were not at Mount Sinai. So they're wild olives. But they're still all olives. They're still all Israelites.
Well, that was wonderful hearing that because, for the last 20, 30 years, I was thinking these were different races.
Well, that's what the mainstream churches teach it. They're different races, but they're lying.
Yeah.
They're just lying. They just made up a story. Anything to squeeze the other races in. And that's the, you know, that's the best Christianity the Jews could buy.
Just like all the nigger cowboys in the movies.
Well, it's kind of, it serves the purpose of the Judeo false prophet, too, because
he
brings more numbers into his congregation and more shekels for his basket.
They's all our brothers.
Yeah. Right. Kent is saying that Stephen Jones loves the splicing of the branches. And I wrote a letter to Stephen Jones just about the splicing of the branches. When I was in prison, I sat and wrote a handwritten letter to him about that. And he never answered me.
Well, I think there's several you've written that no one's ever answered.
Well, yeah, none of those Ted Whelan, Dave Barley, Dan Gentry, that's his name, Stephen Jones, even Steve Rami. I wrote him about the 2012 crap because somebody sent me actually that somebody was in this forum. I think he got bumped or something. Jason Bunn had sent me a paper from Steve Ramey's website, because he was promoting that 2012 date, and I wrote him from prison, and he ignored me too. They all ignored me. The only man that never ignored me, that wrote me back when I contended with him, was Clifton Emmerheiser.
You know, it's funny. Well, it's not funny. It's sad, actually. But you see all these people that have come to the understanding who the Israelite people are, but they ignore the most critical part of the message, and that is the dual seed line. If you don't have the dual seed line message, then you are missing a critical piece of the puzzle and the entire history of our people and the reason why we have gone through what we have gone through and the reason why the world is the way it is today.
Well, right. But Dave Barley, I wrote him and I asked him why he was sucking up the Arabs. And I actually wrote him like 26 pages. It wasn't any light letter. And Dan Gentry is a no-devil clown. And Ted Whelan's a universalist. And I wrote him for that reason. And Stephen Jones is a universalist. And he wants to splice the whole world in and bend pretzels out of, he wants to make Greek into pretzels, basically. And I didn't know it at the time, but I mean, if you have a Negro daughter that you're claiming is your own and you claim to be a preacher, well, of course you're going to be a universalist.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not going to mention his name, but Stephen Jones does have a brother who subscribes to none of his garbage. And they're actually quite at odds. And I have a letter from him. He wrote me. Stephen Jones wouldn't answer my letter, though. So it's incredible. And so I don't think it's a, I don't know. I've heard Stephen Jones is part Jew, but I don't believe it because his brother's actually a good man and seems to have it all straight. So I think the Jew epithet gets thrown around too much, even, you know, especially by two seedliners, because there are a lot of our own people that are just so proud that when they learn or when they hear that they may not be teaching the right thing, they're so proud their egos won't allow them to capitulate. their egos won't allow them to see that they've done wrong.
Well, and they've developed such a love relationship for the Jew that, it's actually scary.
Yeah, it is scary because, I grew up in Jersey City, and there's got to be a million Jews living within 20 miles, and I don't know how you could be in love with them.
Well, it's just like I told, I grew up in Virginia Beach, but I lived in Richmond near Richmond for many years. And, you talk to some of these people, like some of my in-laws that live in Washington State, that the extent of their dealing with niggers has been, practically zero. And they wonder why I despise them so much, why I despise, black people so much. And all I have to tell them is, when you grow up around them and you see them in mass and you see how they are when they're in a group, you'd hate them too.
Amen.
You can deal with one or two of them in a group of whites, but you let them get into a gang and their entire personality changes.
Hey, they mate with apes. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Now, guest 6 says in Zechariah 14:21, it refers to no more Canaanites in the house of Yahweh, and that's a double witness to Obadiah. But I'd like to also say that Paul in Romans chapter 9 is also witnessing to Malachi and Yahweh's hatred of Esau and Obadiah, where he's comparing Jacob and Esau and goes on to explain that two vessels were made from the same lump, which is true because they're both children of Isaac, but the one vessel is for mercy and the other is for destruction. And that's Romans 9, 20, 21 in there somewhere. And that's a witness to the veracity of Obadiah and Malachi. And that testifies to the credibility of Paul.
Jason Bunn says Richmond, Virginia is full of not only darkies, but also old money Jews. And that's the truth. I can remember many battles being fought of Christian religious symbolism and symbols being the hot topic. Should they have them? Shouldn't they have them? And being relegated to Christianity, being relegated to the sidelines, all the while. And I don't ask me too much about Jewish holidays and stuff like that because I really don't give a rat's ass about their holidays. But they have certain holidays where they're not allowed to leave their home, and so they put these symbols on the sidewalks, the lampposts, and everything else that kind of mark their bounds so that they can go outside. It's one of these Judeo Talmudic compromises that they've made to their own laws to allow them to go out and conduct business. But you'll see these symbols all over the place, hanging from trees, from lampposts, and everything, and it marks their path that they're able to go in when they leave their home. And,
right. They have that in Brooklyn, too, in Brooklyn, New York. And I forget the name of that, but what that does is that shows them how far they could travel on a Sabbath day.
Exactly. and it, to me, when there was a stink made about that, and the Richmond City Council didn't even take them an hour to debate it, they said, no, they're allowed to do that. But yet you couldn't have the cross in Maymont Park, because that was a religious symbol.
The only symbols I like hanging from trees are made of hemp.
Yeah, I would like to see a couple of Jews hanging from the trees myself.
Yeah, it's incredible. They Mike Delaney of ProThink sent me a link tonight to one of his pages, and it shows a picture of a huge menorah in Washington, D.C. And we can't have a Christmas tree in Washington, D.C., but we could have a menorah on the White House lawn now. What's up with that?
Exactly.
This politically correct language about separation of religion and state, is this only for Christians, this language? It's crazy. The leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. And it's incredible that people don't see it. And I hope they build a menorah bigger than the World Trade Center and put it on a White House lawn this year. And maybe that'll wake up some of these idiot, brain-dead evangelicals. Probably not, though.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean, I don't. This guy, David Ben Hoover, calls himself David Ben Ariel. He will sit there and berate Christians for the Christmas holidays in one paragraph. And the very next one, he's talking about how wonderful the Jews are with their celebration of Hanukkah. Now, neither of these holidays are biblical, so to speak. But I find it very telling that he would say that, you know, Christians shouldn't be celebrating the birth of Christ because it's based on a pagan holiday.
Actually, Hanukkah is not a biblical holiday.
It's not.
Not when you only look at the, not when you exclude the Apocrypha. Yeah, you know, Hanukkah is it means restoration. And what it was it's the celebration of the reopening of the temple by the Maccabees after they threw off the yoke of the Seleucids.
Right.
And this. Remember that Antiochus Epiphanes had burnt the temple and sacrificed the swine on the altar in 156 B.C. And it took him a couple of years to get the temple rebuilt, you know, reconditioned, and to reopen it. And from that time on, they had a feast of restoration, which is what Hanukkah means.
Right.
But it's not mentioned in the New Testament.
No, it's not. And in actuality, you know, it's not one of the days that Yahweh himself set aside. This is strictly secular, so to speak.
Right. It's an absolutely secular Judean holiday that the Jews maintained so that they could maintain that false identity.
And you know, I have, in my mind, I have no problem if people want to have Christmas. It's part of the intent of their heart. They should never consider that to be a biblical holiday. But if they wanted to take every day of the year and make a special holiday in reverence to Yahweh or Yahshua, that's perfectly fine as far as I'm concerned. As long as they understand that these are not mandated biblical holy days that Yahweh set aside.
Right. And I went, I spoke to somebody earlier about this. I you know, my whole family up here, they're all Baptists and Lutherans, and a lot of them know that I'm, well, they believe that I'm nuts because they know what I'm about. And I spoke to them about the Bible. And they believe that I'm nuts because I quote the Bible to them. And they're Baptists and they don't believe it. Basically, I went to a Christmas gathering Saturday with a bunch of my cousins. Most of them are second cousins, and it was a Christmas gathering, but I thought it was absolutely wonderful. And if you use that time of year to gather with your family, there's nothing better than that. And it was there were about 30 adults there and 15 kids under 11. And every single one of them was white. There was nothing better than that.
Exactly.
To spend a day with the family like that. There wasn't one beige face in the bunch. And that just made me totally, I was enthralled.
And I see nothing wrong with it. And there are those that think that that's just, you know, beyond evil. And personally, you know, as long as you don't say that this is a mandated, that Yahweh demands that we do this, and as long as it's kept in context, I mean, I do have
right, but there's no, basically the bottom line is that we're to love our brethren first. And our, most of our cousins and even a lot of our own wives and husbands aren't going to believe the things that we believe. And we seek fellowship in forums like this because we're spread so thin. But there's no, it's not good to hate your family or despise your family because they insist on celebrating the traditional Catholic holidays or Catholic that's the only way that's proper to label them is that they're Catholic holy days that the Protestants maintained. But they're basically, Christmas is we know it has a pagan background, but all of the Catholic holy days do. They all have pagan backgrounds.
And I never really looked at it that way. The one thing that would bother me is that, okay, if you're going to have a day where you're going to celebrate the birth of Yahshua, then what is all this buying and selling? There was an article by Ben Stein who was saying that, he's now trumpeting this idea that Jews shouldn't get all upset about the fact that Christians display nativity scenes and crosses and things like that. It sounds
no, the
like,
Jew's the one that gets them made in China and brings them over here to sell them to us.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, now, what is his angle? What is his angle here? Well, this is the busiest. This is the time when buying and selling, this is Jew paradise this time of year.
And if Christians didn't buy into that, the Jew wouldn't be rich and be able to oppress us.
Exactly.
Same way as the daylight saving time, another hour.
Well, they don't have that out here in Arizona. So.
Well, they finally got to Martin Lucifer King Day. They fought it for a long time, though.
Well, we had the Andrew Jackson Bridge that was a beautiful. It's actually a very beautiful piece of architecture that went between Petersburg and Colonial Heights, Virginia. And they changed that to the Martin Luther Coon Bridge. So,
oh man,
I know I couldn't believe it when that happened. But every highway in the South, if you ever noticed, almost every major city in the South has a Martin Luther something.
Martin Lucifer King.
Yeah.
And the file.
I guess you guys know they closed his records for 50 years because he was a child molester. He was into stealing late model cars, brake shops, or, break them down and stuff. And they got his everything shut up for 50 years. I'm sure you guys all know that anyway. Some of you do anyway.
Who's that?
Martin Lucifer King.
Oh,
the FBI closed his records down for 50 years. You closed this so you can't find out anything about him.
He was a communist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know that, too.
He had the communist indoctrination that most of the 60s and 70s radicals and agitators had.
Well, his handlers were Jews.
Yeah.
Of course they were.
I saw pictures of him there at the Tennessee at some communist school.
Right. Now, those are old pictures. He plagiarized his doctoral thesis. They refused to revoke his doctorate. Incredible.
What's amazing, these identity thefts, these Jews, these devils, what they've done is they take Martin Luther, who wrote that treatise on the Jews and their lies, and they put on this puppet.
Yeah, you're right. That is full of irony, isn't it?
That's what the Jew does. He subverts everything. Destroys.
Oh, good. Gerald's on the line.
How you doing, Gerald?
Well, I'm trying to stay in the talk show. I keep getting thrown out, and it takes forever to get back in. I hope it's not this way tomorrow night.
I've had trouble on that,
too. You could get thrown out of the forum when you're running the program. It happens to me all the time. You're not going to get thrown off the phone.
But when you go back in and you're a host and you're set up, do you still retain all of that?
Yes.
Okay.
And when you close down the recording, you have to be in the forum to end the recording.
I thought you could do it over the phone. I thought there was a phone.
No, you can only end the recording over the – you have to be on the phone and in the forum in order to end the recording.
But what if I can't get back in the forum?
Well, then you keep trying until you get in. What can I say? That goes with the territory, General.
Mm.
Or you just let the tape. You know, eventually the recording will end anyway. It'll, but that could take hours. I had to cut 2 hours off a recording once that were just dead white space at the end, and that was basically because Eli hung up the phone and closed down his software without ever ending the recording. Yeah, you know, you're just not thinking, and you're all keyed up from the program, and you just shut it down and go.
Daryl, you know, the day before I did my Tuesday night spiel, I was having all kinds of technical difficulties. And Yahweh came through on Tuesday night. I didn't have the first glitch. So everything's going to go fine.
Well, my good friend Bill is going to help me.
Daryl worries too much. You're the host tomorrow night, Daryl. You're going to do the program tomorrow night.
I'm still going to call you 30 minutes before the program starts.
You better. Otherwise, you know, I want to walk you through getting it set up. That's all.
I understand.
So that it runs smoothly.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
I'm learning all about Hollywood actors and actresses. Did you know that most of them are Jews?
Yeah, I know most of them are Jews.
I'm just not only
find
you know,
that
it,
out, Daryl.
If I was going to do a show on the Hollywood actors and actresses that were not Jews, that would be the shortest program that's ever existed.
It might be a one-act play.
And even then, you'll find out later that they were really crypto Jews.
Yeah.
And the ones that are not Jews, believe it or not, are married to them, or you know, it's amazing.
Well, you know. Since Jews own all of the production companies, and Jews own the studios, and Jews are the producers and the directors, who are they going to hire to fill the cast?
True.
Chinese?
And they certainly don't want any true Israelites.
It's how stupid Christians are. Let's give the Jews sole authority, sole license to counterfeit our money. Who's going to get all the loans? Who's going to buy all the property in the country? Because they're the ones that got all the loans.
I notice these, you know, churches sure the hell are getting the loans.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the Jews see that as an investment.
Yeah.
That's an investment, and they get a great return on it.
Sure.
They get this Christian Zionism.
Yeah.
Nothing has been more profitable for the Jews but Judeo-Christianity.
I look at it this way. Every dollar that the Jews steal under Yahweh's law, they're going to have to give us double portion back, at least.
I thought it was seven times over.
Well, at least double.
Well, Babylon, you know, the fall of Babylon, Revolution 18, it says, you know, pay back double. Take back double of everything that she took from you.
So we're getting a pretty good return on our investment.
Well, I don't want anything if it comes from the Jew.
It'll be cleansed.
Revelation 18:6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works. In the cup which she is filled, fill to her double. In other words, the whore of Babylon gets, you know, double the punishment.
Isn't the whore of Babylon Israel? True Israel?
Yeah, well, that's the way I look at it. You caught me reading here, verse 7. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. I mean, the whore of Babylon is the system, but it's Israel that Israel is the whore, I believe, because we empowered the system. We've signed on to it. We're the whore. We're the bride in the end, but we're the whore right now.
Hey, Bill, I know you're against.
The actions of our people prove that. What's that, James?
I know you don't go for the flying saucers thing. How about Inner Earth that I've read and stuff in the past with Admiral Byrd supposedly going in there and what have you. Do you know anything about that?
I think that whoever concocted that story is just nuts.
Okay. How about the Northern Lights? You don't think that's got anything to do with the possible inner sun or anything like that?
No, it has everything to do with the Earth's magnetic shield and the interaction of radioactive particles on it and light particles on it.
How about a true north and the other? They say that's the reason why a lot of times they can't find the so-called inner Earth. Supposedly Genesis or somewhere, that stuff is in the Bible, supposedly.
No, it's not in the Bible.
It's not? Okay.
I've never seen anybody point to any reference at all concerning it. And I've read the whole Bible in four different versions.
I hear you.
So I've never seen it. I've never seen anything remotely similar to it. The flying saucer thing has a lot more biblical credibility than the inner earth story. You know, Job says, I think it's Job chapter 26, he hides his throne in the clouds. He spreadeth his cloud upon. He hides his throne in the heaven and spreads a cloud upon it. And Ezekiel chapter 1, if you ever read Ezekiel chapter 1, it sounds like a UFO to me. And Yahshua Christ was taken straight up in the body and ascended into heavens. And the only way that could be accepted in the book of Acts and in the Gospel of Luke is literally.
Is there anything in the Bible about, this is a little off the wall, but stuff that I've learned many years ago, whether it's true or not, snakes, maybe not even call them snakes, but serpents up to 250 foot or longer at one time on this earth? I don't know. What do you think about any of that stuff? Or is there anything in the Bible about it?
It's the Jews on a football field.
That's there's a lot of findings of giant dinosaurs and things like that.
I thought that was all a bunch of baloney, the dinosaurs.
Well, I don't know. You know, I've seen a lot of the bones, and they're not explainable in any other way.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the bones look legitimate enough. I mean, I spent enough time in the museums in New York when I was a kid.
I think that they're real myself. I've seen them. The only place I ever saw them was Los Angeles. They got a museum there. They got those big giant ones, or they did when I was a kid. I don't know if they're even there anymore now.
Well,
I guess they are.
Full of them, so.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah, La Brea Tar Pits.
I think the point is, James, is that I always ask myself, is any of this relevant to what?
Well, you know what? That Bill Gale told me that one time. He says, James, he says, okay, well, I know you guys don't agree, but he said, yeah, it's true about the inner earth and flying saucers and blah, blah, giant snakes and what have you, but he said, the hell with all that stuff, read your Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I've read a few books about UFOs, and if UFOs do exist and interact with people, I know that it's satanic, and I know it's satanic for this reason. Everybody who claims to have come in contact with aliens, they bring back the same message of brotherly love and universal brotherhood.
Are you?
And all races should get along. So that's a message straight from the pits of hell.
Okay. I've heard also that the Germans supposedly is the ones that had the flying saucer during, at the end of the war, and they went to the inner earth or something. A bunch of, who knows? I know I don't say and I believe any of it, but
I don't buy the inner earth story. You got to show me.
Okay. Well, this one book I had one time, I don't have it no more, but it was supposedly biblical, scientific, and Admiral Byrd involved in it.
It's not biblical.
Okay.
This story's about, there's lines in the Bible about the hidden people of Yahweh. Well, that's the children of Israel. That's not some people buried in, and I know that so many inner earth people have pointed to that line, but clearly in context is a reference to the children of Israel.
Gotcha.
They're hidden in plain sight. There's no prophecy or no other statement that can be used to support that quackery. And that's what it is. It's quackery.
And it's just a Jew incident that the people that control those UFO sites, for the most part, are Jews.
Well, yeah, that's true also. And there's a hell of a lot of misinformation there.
They're supposed to be possibly a giant squid out there that up to 400 foot long. I don't know if they are or not, but I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't want to find out.
Oh, well, that's not, you know, anything fantastic, because there's a lot of creatures, giant creatures in the bottom of the oceans that we know about. And since hardly any of the ocean deep has really been explored, how much stuff is down there that we don't know about?
Well,
you know, I'm not, none of that stuff really excites me.
Well, I understand. I just like stuff like that. A lot of people, they don't believe it. I mean, I totally into Yahweh, but I like to know other things too, or whatever, you know.
Well, I mean, I could sit there and listen, I could watch YouTube videos on flying saucers all day long, but then I have to ask myself at the end of the day, how much study did I get done? You know.
Yeah, I don't distract myself with that stuff.
Yeah, what difference does it make, like you said?
Yeah.
I think the Jews have dreamed all this shit up in their head and put it on the Hollyweird movies and got people just spinning around with that crap.
Well, yeah, anything that's a distraction from what really is important.
Right, and a lot of our people are following down the wrong path because of a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who devote their lives to UFOs, and they devote their lives to the inner earth theories and Mu, Lemuria, and Churchwarden, and Atlantis, and all these tales. And none of it's getting them anywhere.
Well, a lot of these scientific movies, are, you know, that you think are just wild shit, is a lot of the stuff the Jews plan on doing or reality to them. They flat tell the truth right out and, you know, in front of you or whatever, and people think it's all a bunch of baloney, and it's what they plan on doing to us, all these, you know, making whatever out of green, soiling green or whatever out of us. Who knows?
Well, I wouldn't listen to too much Art Bell. It's not good for you.
I've heard he's a phony, too.
He's a Jew.
Oh, Art Bell. Yeah, I think I've heard that, too.
And his replacement is an Arab. Imagine that.
Well, they are kinsmen. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, they're both Canaanites. There's no doubt.
Well, aren't the Arabs, there? Aren't they half our relative, too, on the one of the brothers or whatever? Or, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Are they half brother to us? Or I was told
no,
not
no,
to trust
no, no, no. Anybody that's mixed can't be my brother ever, period. Done. It's
no,
over with.
No, I didn't say full brother. I said
No. There's no such thing as a half brother. You won't find a word in the Bible.
Okay.
You're thinking of Ishmael.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? His descendants are mixed and none of them are my brother.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean,
put out the bond woman and her son. For the children of the bondman woman will by no means inherit with the children of the spirit.
Abraham had a hard time accepting that, but he accepted it.
Right. And you know, Ishmael was circumcised and he believed.
Yeah.
Ishmael was circumcised and he believed. But he still wasn't good enough for the covenant. And he was Abraham's own son. And that's something that Christians should bear in mind all the time. That if Abraham couldn't get his own son squeezed into the picture, who the hell are we to bring a nigger in or anything like that? That's why I went ballistic last week when you labeled a Negro fag a Christian.
I know.
I don't care what he calls himself or what he believes. That don't make him what he is.
I knew you wouldn't forget that one.
No, you're never going to hear the end of that one. So if you don't make that mistake again, it's just crazy.
Well,
You can profess to be a something, but that doesn't make you it.
Okay, I got you.
What you are is what your DNA is derived from. What you are is what flows through your veins, period. It's a Jewish perception that you could be whatever you claim to be. You can't be what you claim to be.
Well, that makes sense.
You can only be what you came into the world as.
Yeah, I was listening.
And it is in the genes.
You can't plant tomatoes and call them cabbages and make it so.
It just
don't work.
I was listening to that conversation driving through Atlanta. I almost drove my 18-wheeler off the road. I said, what the hell? We've all been conditioned to accept all those damn lies.
And that's Jewish conditioning.
Right.
I got a joke about that. There was this Jew, and I'll pick Chicago. That's Eli's town. There's this Jew in Chicago in an Irish neighborhood. And every week the Irishman see the Jew out on Friday night grilling a steak on his back deck, on the deck of his house. And the Irish neighbors, you know, they keep busting his chops to convert to the Catholic Church and believe in Jesus. So the Jew hears this for years, and finally he just gives up. And he goes to church and he gets baptized. And the next Friday he's out on his back deck and he's grilling a steak as he does every Friday. And the Irishmen tell him, hey, Maury, you can't do that. And he's like, what do you mean I can't do that? And it's Friday. You got to eat fish. And Maury picks up the barbecue sauce and he anoints the steak with it. And he says to the steak, you were born a steak and you were raised a steak and now you're a fish. In other words, converting a Jew to Catholicism is just as ridiculous as converting that steak to a fish because it's Friday.
Just like a Judeo-Christian, don't mix, same thing.
Yeah, but Bill, haven't you heard of spiritual sperm?
Yeah, right. Spiritual sperm, that's a good one. The most perverted Greek philosopher couldn't have thought of that one.
Unless he was a Jew.
I don't even think Philo thought that up, and he thought up a lot of perverted stuff if you read Philo. I mean, I read 4 or 5 pages, skimmed through parts of it, and gave it back to the guy that loaned it to me, and I said, I never want to see this book again. The only book from antiquity I had in my hands and I couldn't read was Philo. Just absolute perversion. It was disgusting.
Hey, is it in the, okay, here's one I thought of. The Lost Books, I thought I read it one time in there, where Jesus kicked the shit out or stoned a little Jew boy or something.
Yeah, well, that's a story.
Oh, is this a story?
Yeah, there's a lot of books in the Lost Books that were just, first and second century concoctions.
So it's not true then?
Pay no mind to Jewish fables.
Oh, okay.
Anything that is out of character for what you know the other scripture. If you can't find a second witness, then don't believe it.
Absolutely.
That's right. There's supposed to be a second witness or more.
I mean, it's just like with the stories of Jesus going into Great Britain when he was a kid. And, those are nice stories and everything, but I don't have a second witness for it. So it's nice to think about those things. But unless I have some confirmation, they're just stories.
Well, Scripture more or less refutes them.
And not only that, but, now I'm reading this one, Buddha was a Saxon and all this, and there's a site that gets linked to it where they're saying now that Mary was buried in Kashmir.
Yeah, I don't want to toot my own horn, and I don't want to denigrate Eli. He repeated some of those things, and when I proofread that for him, and I made a note that maybe he should reconsider it. But he wanted to quote them to show the tradition, so
yeah,
I think that he should have put a caveat there. But it's he's his own man, so.
Well, I think, when I read a lot of the stuff that Eli writes, and he's definitely a good writer, and I've learned a lot of good things from him. but I know enough where to draw the line. But I am concerned sometimes that maybe someone who doesn't know is new to this teaching may not know where to draw the line. But at the same time, you know, is it really going to hurt anything? Is it really going to
But it would make some people wonder why he's saying that Moses is buried in India. And,
yeah.
And that's just not the case. It's a ridiculous assumption, and it's the myths of some of the aliens that inhabit those lands today, and we shouldn't perpetuate them. And it retracts from our credibility. I think that's my personal opinion. That's why I say that we need the utmost scholarship.
Yeah.
And we, you know, repeating stuff like that, we open ourselves up to criticism. And I only like to write what I could show in old books. If I can't show it in an old book, and if I say it here, I always give the caveat that it's my personal opinion, that I can't substantiate it, that I'm not sure about it, but this is what I think, or this is what I've heard. But if I can't show it in an old book, no, I'm not writing about it.
You think that word scholarship comes from the same Greek word skoule?
Well, yeah, it does. And it actually means leisure, believe
yeah.
it or not. The Greek word skoule means leisure. And the Greeks saw leisure time as a time of learning and engaging in philosophical thought and debate and instruction. And they used their leisure time for instruction and learning. In America, we use our leisure time for porno and debauchery and drinking. The Greeks used their leisure time for instruction and learning and philosophical investigation. And that's why the Greek word skale, which means leisure, became our word for school.
And ship, kind of like floating on that understanding. That it takes work, too.
Right.
And Yahweh works hard. Very, 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 very hard.
Well, that's the long-suffering patience of Yahweh is incredible, right? And we don't have it, that's for sure.
I'm amazed at how hard Yahweh works and has worked for his people.
Kent's right. Utmost scholarship or not, who gives us credit? And that's, yeah, you know, we don't, the hell with their credit. I don't know. I don't do it for their credit. I do it so that I can stay above their criticism. They have to lie to criticize me. That's my goal. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. But my goal when I write and my goal when I present the things I could present is that in order to be criticized, the critic has to be lying.
Yes. Well, when Yahweh told us in the flesh to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Well, that should strive. We should strive for that, but we know as men we can't really attain it.
But we
can try like hell, but we can't be perfect, even though we're told to.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is that intellectually, we've been conditioned, I think, to have this presupposed supposition that we somehow attain it through intellectual practice, you know what I mean? Where it becomes it's kind of got caught up into the ego, kind of like personal salvation kind of thing, where each one of us is striving for ourselves. Where it becomes a battlefield and it's not really of Yahweh. You know what I mean?
Bill, you're probably doing the only true, real Bible out there out of 6 billion people on this earth.
Nah, there's a lot
of
others.
Yeah, there's other CI pastors out there, and I mean they all do a really good job, and I think sometimes they're underappreciated and certainly under-supported, but you know, there's so few of us anyway.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And I don't know of any, I don't know of one CI person that's rich. We're all poor.
Right, that seems to be the case, but I mean, that's, you know, that proves the word too.
Yeah.
That proves the truth of the word also. That the only people that that want to seek the truth and the true way and the way of Yahshua is are people who are not rich, because we know what happens with the wealthy and the things that they seek, right?
Well, a guy, my
man
oh,
can't
should,
serve two masters, God and Mammon. That's just the way it is.
My son-in-law told me. He said a man can be honest and have $1 billion, but any of them that have over $1 billion, watch out. I don't know. I've heard that he told me that.
I don't think it's that high, actually. I gave up a very lucrative career, one that I had spent a lot of money in college for and made good money at for many years, but because I didn't feel like that was a very Christian pursuit. I didn't feel like that was the way, I didn't feel like that was the direction that Yahweh wanted me to go in. But, because it was certainly supporting the beast, and it was supporting the beast system. But, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's practically anything you decide to do will support the beast system in one way or another.
Yeah, we're nothing but damn slaves.
Well, you know, there's a big difference between having to go buy a gallon of milk from a store, from a supermarket, and buying a Corvette because you feel like having a Corvette.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big difference there. But when you could buy a practical car and use the rest of the money for the purposes of God or your family or whatever. And I'm using that as, you know, the Corvette is an idol to most people that I ever knew that had one. It's an absolute idol. I mean, they'll sit out there on a Saturday afternoon and polish it for 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's idolatry. People don't realize that that's idolatry. Oh, he's got to wash his car. He has to keep. That's idolatry. Yeah, you know, the non-idolatrous person will take the car through the car wash and give it the $5 wash in 30 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And an idolatrous person will sit there for 6 hours and detail his car every week or once a month or however often.
Well, I used to have four cars. We had two drivers in the family. We had four cars and one truck sitting out in the driveway. Now, what in the world did I need all that for?
I had seven of them at one time, seven cars, trucks.
Well, right,
you know,
and that's
now
a
I
form
have,
of idolatry, too.
Yeah, and now I have two used cars, one for me, one for my wife. They're both paid for. I have no outstanding bills on those. The only thing I have to pay every month is insurance. Since they're paid for, I don't have to get premium insurance. And I'm happier now without all the things than I have ever been in my life, except when I was a kid, of course. But, I mean, in my adult life, I spent my whole life acquiring things and then worrying that I would lose things.
Right. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah,
and
take it with
and
you.
I, you know, I spent my life acquiring things and I lost everything.
Well, I did too.
And you never know. You could have all the goods. Yeah, you could have I noticed Sword Brother. I'm going to use him as an example. He mentioned that he was rich in survival equipment and this and that. But you don't know if that stuff's going to be within your grasp the day you need it. You have no idea. And the idea is to have faith in Yahweh, and he'll make sure you have what you need when you need it.
I like your translation, William, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love society nor the things in society.
Right. That word cosmos means society. The Greek word cosmos that the King James translates world, it means society. I could prove that.
So if people who are, when I'm attached to my Corvette, my Corvette's inside of me and I'm in my Corvette.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah. So it's not, the love of the Father is not in me when I love that.
Right, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's Christian to be practical.
Yeah.
You know, to obtain what you need and to pray that you can obtain the things that you need and not to obtain the fulfillment of your own lusts.
Yes, sir.
I am so thankful to Yahweh, even to this day, that he saw fit to take everything away from me. I am really happy that he saw fit to take everything from me. As a matter of fact, that was probably the life-changing moment in my life, was when he decided to take everything away from me. Now, he waited until I had raised my kids and I was able to give them all that they needed. And, you know, I no longer had that responsibility as far as them being children. But there came a point in my life when he took everything away from me. And I mean everything. And I'm at the point now where I'm rebuilding slowly only what I need. And I'm not getting into debt to do it. And I'm not having to pay any interest to the hook-nosed kike. I don't have credit cards. I don't get involved in any of that stuff. He yanked me, literally yanked me out of that lifestyle. And I am now at a point of peace that I cannot describe.
You should read Hebrews 10:14 in my translation. I don't know what it says in the King James. It talks about the captives who accepted the seizure of their possessions with joy. He's referring back to the deportations of Judah and Israel. And that's, you know, how we have to look at life. That's the example. Possessions are only possessions, and they're replaceable. Your soul is not replaceable.
And they do become idols, Bill. They really do.
Absolutely. Many people's possessions I see become idols.
And they all rot.
And people don't understand what idolatry is. But if you're spending 6 hours a week, and I'm using this as one example, but if you're spending 6 hours a weekend polishing a sports car, that's idolatry. What about your children? What about your brethren? What about your sisters and your nieces and nephews? Shouldn't you? Well, why don't you take that time and spend it with them? And wouldn't you enrich their lives doing that? Of course you would. But I've seen guys work Monday through Friday and spend all day Saturday polishing the sports car. They got to ride 10 hours all week, and then all day Sunday watching football games. That's idolatry.
There's a lot of them out there.
And that's the American dream, as portrayed by the Jewish media.
And when I speak of my own experience, you know, I'm speaking specifically of my experience and how it impacted me and how grateful I am to Yahweh that he did that to me. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, anybody that has things is sinning. I mean, I can't answer that. I can't tell someone that they're sinning because they own something.
I gotta bust one of my friends' chops. Says in the forum that it's no lie, he's probably the biggest sinner here. I'm gonna tell him that's only because he's got about an inch and 30 pounds on me. All right.
By the way, Bill, happy birthday. I did write you in the form.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Patricia Blab to everybody. It was my birthday. I knew I
yeah.
shouldn't open my mouth.
And thank you, Patricia, because you keep us informed, and I appreciate that.
Happy birthday and many more.
Today's your birthday, Bill?
Nah, it was Saturday.
Oh, happy unbirthday, because it's not your birthday. Happy birthday.
the Bible says you're not supposed to celebrate your birthday. Is that true? Or
the only one who celebrates his birthday in the New Testament was Herod. And I don't really celebrate my birthday. I never celebrate my birthday. I try not to advertise what it is. And I was talking to Patricia on the phone one day last week, and I blabbed on myself, and I regretted it as soon as I did. I was like, damn, why did I tell her that? And
the only one that Yahweh told not to celebrate his birthday was Judas.
No, Herod. Herod celebrates his birthday in the New Testament.
Oh.
Herod, the Edomite king, celebrates his birthday, and his daughter dances for him, and he's so pleased that he promises her anything she wants, and her mother makes her request the head of John the Baptist. And that was her birthday present. That's the bloodthirsty little Edomite whore wanted the head of John the Baptist for her birthday.
And didn't he also slay John the Baptist's father, Zacharias?
Well, you know, okay. That's in the Protovangelion of James, which is a book that I think has a couple of problems. But, you know, where the New Testament says that Zacharias, the son of Barachias, was slain, where it says the son of Barachias, that is not in all of the better manuscripts. And it was probably an addition. And Zacharias probably, I believe it does mean the father of John the Baptist.
I think so too, Bill.
I don't have the historical, you know, data I would need to back that up, and I don't think it exists. However, yeah, you know, what strikes me is that would make it the Jews responsible for killing all the prophets from A to Z.
Exactly.
And I know that that's just a coincidence, or maybe it's not a coincidence. And this is what's really striking. Z is the seventh letter of the Greek alphabet. It's not the last letter.
I think it
but
was divine.
In English, it makes perfect sense.
I think it was divine intervention myself.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's a coincidence. It's not really a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned that on a talk show program when we covered Luke or Matthew or one of them.
And Yahweh was very understanding of all the blood that them bastards were shedding around him as he's grown up, too, because they tried to slaughter him when he was a little kid.
Oh, Bill, do you believe, like Gail told me, that some kind of big giant valley in China is where the ark actually was, or the flood was?
Well, that's all strictly conjecture.
Okay.
I've got to get off the phone.
Okay, James.
Good night.
I'll talk to you guys later. I'll still be on the forum, so it's nice listening to all you. Yahweh bless everybody.
Yahweh bless you, brother. I tend to conjecture that it might have been the Black Sea, because that's a big area there. But I don't know.
There is a theory that was written in a book. I have not read the book, but I know about the theory. And it was written in a book probably in the early 90s. And I know that the book exists, but I don't even know its name. And it lays out a pretty good case, and I read a review of it and a couple of articles back then, and it makes a pretty good case for the flood having to do with the existence of the Black Sea. And that, you know, it very well could be. That's as plausible as the Tarim Basin theory, and in fact, it's probably more plausible than the Tarim Basin theory.
I know it certainly wasn't Salt Lake City, though.
No.
Tarim Basin, that's in China?
The Tarim Basin, it's near the border of Afghanistan in Tibet.
Mm.
Okay? And it's actually, it's a depression that you know, it would be theoretically possible or plausible that certain events like in that description could take place there. But it's also a place that's at a very high elevation. And for that and several other reasons, it seems very unlikely to me. And I believe that the Mediterranean itself or the Black Sea region or you know, something like that would be much more plausible.
Yeah, it's really strange going to the Black Sea. They have this really high cliff down by Crimea. I went where the Romanovs were slaughtered, and those four Jews got together, or three Jews, killed off communism, but it was the same place. But there's this really high cliff, and you go up on the top, and they have like bears and tigers and lions, kind of like a bunch of gypsies up there, you know, selling food and circus stuff.
Yeah, those mountains were the inspiration for the Prometheus story of the Greeks, that he was chained to those mountains as punishment for bringing fire to man.
Oh, really? Right?
Yeah.
Right. Crimea area? Or, you know? Or,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know. Wow. I'll have to look at that.
Patty, is there any follow-up on what's going on over there in the Ukraine? I just finished reading that yesterday, I think.
Why don't Patricia call in and fill us in on the Ukraine?
It was in the November I read it, but I was wondering what's happened since. They arrested an Israeli scientist in L.A. I guess I don't know if you read that or not, and I don't wonder what happened to him. Because he's the one that knew about this spray that they're spraying over there and make it. I think 75 people died and 78,000 are infected or whatever.
Well, I don't know.
I was just curious if there was an update.
I don't know why the Jews would want to do anything to harm the Ukraine, because they use it as a farm for all their for all their prostitutes that they kidnap and bring to Israeli. And bring the Kyrgyzstan and put into the sex slave business.
Yeah, that makes sense. I hear what you're saying. That don't make sense that they would, you know, kill the people there. It don't make sense.
Yeah, no more Ukraine, and there's no more blonde prostitutes in Tel Aviv. I mean, they'd have to get them from somewhere else.
I hear you.
Yeah, if you guys ever get a chance to travel over there to that area and see how the people live, it's interesting. A lot of Orthodox churches.
Where's that?
Over in the Ukraine, Moldova area.
Yeah, you know, Moldova, I just put a link. Mike Delaney of ProSync put up a couple of videos about people in Moldova basically protesting against the public display of Jewish menorahs.
Yeah, they're pulling upside down in front of their the king in Kishinev there, right in the square.
well, yeah, and then he has pictures of the display of menorahs in Washington and things like that. But it's good to see somebody finally opposing these devils,
reptilian bastards.
So it's I'm gonna watch the videos later. I just threw the link up on the front page of my site. I only put up a headline and a link, and tomorrow I'll write a little piece about it.
Hello, Patricia.
Hey, Gerald.
Hello,
hey,
Patricia.
Bill.
You didn't have to call if you were busy.
I know. I'm sitting here. You're torturing me. You know, I'm just saying that I'll be better on this maybe tomorrow night with just getting the paper out. But I know that Joseph Moshe, the Israeli, the guy who said he was a microbiologist, oh, he had a hell of a time. I mean, he called into True Aughts off the air and told him that he was a, you know, Israeli microbiologist and he had important information, and True ignored him, you know, just thought it was, you know, a hoaxy kind of call and said, well, you should call the FBI, you should do this. And he's saying, I can't. I mean, that's probably the biggest story of his life that he let slip through his fingers. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then the guy was, there was a huge SWAT team that surrounded him, and they had no idea how they gave this guy so much, you know, gas. What do they call that gas that they use for?
CS, maybe?
Maybe, but they were just really, you know, trying to get this guy. They got him, and he's in a mental institution in L.A. now. That's where they're holding him. That's the last report I've heard.
That's update. That's update, because that wasn't in the story.
Yeah, that's all we know about him so far. So,
how about over in Ukraine? You heard anything?
Well,
new?
I heard a little some different stuff on that, and we're still following up because we're putting the paper out this week, so we're waiting for the latest that's going to break about that. But they're saying Bill Engvall wrote a very interesting story, saying that a lot of the people that were dying had tuberculosis, a drug resistant form of tuberculosis. And that's why whatever, was taking people down and they were having those pneumonic plague symptoms and stuff like that, they were already, weakened. And that's why it was, going through there so heavy.
But here's another thing. Well, like the guy just said, just like Bill said, why would they get, why would they do what they're doing there and they're getting their slaves to bring over to Israel, the beautiful white girls? So it don't make sense.
Oh, they've got, I think wasn't it 25,000 children? What was that number? 2,500, 25,000? But a boatload of children have been adopted out of the Ukraine to Israeli and American Jews in Israel, and they're missing.
It says 25,000 children.
I know. Maybe. I can't believe I want to say 25,000, but it just kind of blows my mind that many are missing.
Well, it doesn't blow my mind because I imagine that they would be used for Jewish ritual sacrifice and then organ harvested.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's pitiful. Why would they be, I just don't understand why they hate the Ukrainians so much. I mean, first they massacre, in millions of them through famine.
Well, they need
30-some million, I think, 33 million during World War One or between World War One and Two in the Ukraine.
Exactly, and ruin the, that was the, the breadbasket of Europe.
Aren't there 100,000 children a year, I don't know if it's all one race, that are captured by the Jews and sacrificed every year?
Well, a couple of 100,000 kids disappear in this country every year. And it can't possibly be to lone nut job sex offenders.
No, I have an Irish friend, or had an Irish friend who was, her parents were Satanists, and it's no coincidence that Ireland actually has the highest rate of missing persons. Ireland, a small country like that.
Hmm.
And she said everyone that came to her house from Dr. Laurie Indian Chiefs were all into what I called the family hobby. They were all Satanists.
Yeah,
and what they would do is they'd breed these girls, and then they would induce an abortion, a late term abortion, and that way they wouldn't have to record a live birth, but they would get all the, skin and blood and everything that they needed to perform their sacrifices.
Damn.
Yeah, she was a mess.
Well, thank you for bringing us up to date. I was curious.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. But, do you hear any more about swine flu? I mean, we don't watch the regular news, but, it seems to be over. They're still injecting kids with it. In the UK, they're now saying they're only going to give people children half the dose so they won't have a fever. So they're really struggling. They're really trying to draw at straws. I mean, the anti-vax movement has done an excellent job of warning people about this vaccine, and people have stayed away in droves. And they've done everything they can to pump up fear about it and say, oh, we're having a shortage. Better go out and get yours right away. And then the next thing, actually, we have enough. Oh, people aren't turning up to the swine flu clinic. So, it's absolutely amazing, but they're doing it. Like having flu shot or that flu mist nonsense at airports. How brilliant is that? I mean, that you viral shed with that for 21 days and you get on an airplane and everybody's immune system is weakened. And
you spread it everywhere.
And you spread it everywhere. It's just, it's beautiful. But, you know, it's not working.
Well, there's only been 600 or so that I know of that died. And the regular flu kills 35,000 every year. So what the, you know, why don't they say nothing about that?
Oh, no, yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, and they can't really say that because the CDC does not track flu deaths, seasonal flu. It doesn't. When they say, oh, so many people died, you have to say, well, where are you getting that figure? And they say, well, we extrapolate that out. I mean, that's
so that 35,000 is not really true then.
No, that's not true at all. I mean, that's just a figure that they pull out of the air to scare people. And you don't know how many of those people got a flu shot. Like there was a lady in Quebec, she died 2 days after getting the swine flu shot, and they reported that she died from the swine flu. Even though right in the article it says she got the shot 2 days before.
That's the one that was in the American Free Press, maybe?
Maybe. We carried it in our paper. I think a lot of people carried it.
25 years old or something like that?
No, I think she was in her 40s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a crazy thing. So you really don't know how many people actually had the swine flu shot. But I know when people have gotten into medical records from things like pertussis outbreaks, oh, my gosh. I mean, everybody that died had the vaccine. Everybody that died had elevated antibody levels, and they died. And people with low antibody levels stayed well. So the whole misconception about, you know, vaccines is because they, you know, increase the antibody levels that help you fight disease is a complete misnomer. I mean, it's completely false. It's bad science. It's fraud right from the get-go.
I have no doubt.
It's just Yah's grace to us that this swine flu thing hasn't taken off because it has squalene in it and people, you know, stayed away from it. I don't want to say squalene. Somebody will jump on me about that. It has an oil and water adjuvant in many of them, which is just totally a ticket to autoimmune disease. It's unbelievably bad for you. But people have stayed away from it in droves, and the people that have got it, you know, have been contagious, you know, to other people, but it's not taking off the way they had really hoped. And the natural swine flu, if there is such a thing, was a non-event in South America. This flu season is already over. It was a non-event. It wasn't even a bump in the road.
The whole thing's a big lie.
Another Jew lie. What do you know? Hey, listen,
well,
I'm getting
we'll see
beat
what
up.
Happens to the stock in Merck and Pfizer and companies like that.
Exactly. They all collected their money, though. So, yeah, they all collected their money. Listen, I'm getting beeped here, so I've got to take this other call, and it's been a blessing.
Thanks,
I appreciate you, folks.
God bless.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Yes, you are blessed.
Thank you, James.
Now it's called the Jew flu.
Hello, Idaho Observer. Hello.
Ah, Patricia.
I muted her because I didn't want her to. She'll figure it out. She's good.
Boy, she's right there on that phone, boy.
Well, I hate to leave good company, but I have to get up early in the morning to do some work on the program tomorrow, so I'm going to let y'all have it.
Yeah, sure. Bless you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap this up. And
you still got lots of people in the chat room.
Well, I understand that, but this is, you know, if nobody calls in, there's no program. I can't sit here and say the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll see everybody tomorrow night, and Bill, I'll call you 30 minutes before the program.
Great.
And, you got
Yahweh bless.
You can call me earlier if you want. You know, anytime after 7 is good.
Oh, okay. Well, see, now it starts here in Louisiana in Central. It'll be 8 o'clock our time.
8 o'clock tomorrow night here in California?
No.
6.
Louisiana.
Oh, 6 o'clock here, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patty, give me the deal. I think it's 5 or 6. I don't have it right here.
And that's number 67473, right, Bill?
That's not my number. Oh, the link will be on the front page of Christigenia.
Yeah, but I'm talking about for my program. It's not the same as your number.
The link will be on the front page of Christogenia. I don't have it memorized. I
got it
memorized. The link is right on the front page of Christogenia.
See you guys all tomorrow night, I hope.
Take care, James.
Good night.
Night.
Okay. Thank you, Gerald. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Bruce. Take care. Good night. God bless all.